for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from Sexcent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
March the 30th, 2002. Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Carl Fox of Huntington, Tennessee is the minister of the evening.
Well, the rest of the evening belongs to the Lord and Brother Carl. Amen.
Amen. Oh, praise God. Last night I said I love you. Tonight I love you. Huh? Thank you. I know you do. You know, there's times when God's reward is so fast that it just breaks you up. When you love somebody that loves you, the reward is quick. But when you have to wait for the reward is when you love someone that hates your guts. Tonight, we don't have to wait for the reward if we love one another. Okay? So that's enjoy it. That's bask in it. Let's draw strength on this. So that in the name of Jesus Christ, when we go about going our directions, as we leave this place, that we can leave stronger, more healed, more encouraged, more on fire. And that when the first bump in the road comes, it doesn't discourage us. When the first disaster tries to rear its ugly head, that we look to the promise instead of that problem. And that we carry that. And the way you carry it is you give testimony of what you received. So when you go back, if you received something, and if you didn't, you're dead, and we're going to get you back up. But share it. Share it. So other people are hungry for something like that. All right? Share it. If people have an expectation, then things happen. Without an expectation, without a vision, the Lord says, my people perish, right? See, so share it so they'll get an idea of it. I was sharing with a brother tonight about we were in Maine, and there's two ladies that were dying of a similar liver problem. One was hepatitis C, the other one I couldn't pronounce anyway. But they both had been given a death sentence by a doctor. And they both got healed. And God gave both of these women the same instruction. Remember, hon? Go tell everybody what the Lord has done. The one lady went back and sat back in the back seat again and turned yellow. The other lady went right down the rows. Right, everybody's seen it, but she told them anyway. You know what I mean? And the more she told, the more excited she got. And someone says, stop her. We can't hear what he's saying. And she don't need to. Listen to her. She got done. There's nobody in the church to tell it to. She ran out, and there's a gymnasium next door. She stopped the basketball game. See? Now, that's planted in. See, that's what's called a blessing. All right, we've talked a lot about curses. I'm not even going to, I'm throwing it away. I'm not going to get into that. I want to get into blessings, okay? Yeah, we talk about generational curses, but I want you to know there's some people that are sitting here and standing here that got generational blessings too. Amen. You know? And, you know, that's something to be thankful for. You know, I think of one side of my family, and they come from the Druids, or however you say it, you know, them Celtic people that were pretty wild. My mom's side, there was always preachers. And there still is. And some of them coming to Ireland were murdered. They were hung till their heads popped off. They just rotted on a beam because they were Orange Irish and they spoke out against the persecution of the green, which is the Protestant and Catholic business. But they felt that how are we going to reach people by hating people? But some of them escaped. They escaped to Canada. during World War I, they snuck into the United States. And because the United States wasn't quite so loyal to Britain, and they didn't have a real love for Britain because of what Britain had done to their country. I remember my Grandpa Phillips saying, if somebody asks what nationality you are, just tell me you're a child of God. If they don't understand that, then tell me you're a Duke's mixture. But he says, the blood that counts is not the blood that's in your body. And he was just a wonderful man. He just, when I was a kid, I couldn't understand him because he'd just be sitting there and he'd just break out laughing. And now I understand it. You know, the Lord would just give him a little tickle and tell him something sweet. But those, when I think of these things, these are generational blessings. I got a whole bunch of cousins that are preachers. And it's a blessing, see? And that's, we want to see these things carry on. We don't know when the Lord's going to come back. You know, at one time, I didn't think we'd be here today.
When I was a kid, I never thought I'd be here today.
Apostle Paul figured it's going to happen in his lifetime. But you know, I want to tell you, he didn't just get out of the grave and disappear. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. But he didn't just get out of the grave, you know, and hit the road and kind of sits up there by his daddy. He's doing a lot up there. But you know what? He is coming back. And that's the thing I want you to think about. He is coming back. All the power of hell can't hinder it for a moment.
Really, hell hasn't.
As it's been taken. He knows that. He took the keys away. You know, God is truly a God that has never held back. Some of you are waiting for things, and guess we'll spend our life waiting for things. That's what life's about a lot. We don't get it all at once, we couldn't handle it. But I want you to know that if God did not spare his son for you, and he didn't, right? Amen? Then he's not going to hold back any of his promises. You know, you can bank on that. All right? You can depend on that. It's a sure word. It's a sure word. He is not going to hold back. So don't you hold back when you come to God to receive blessings. Don't you hold back when you come to God to praise him. Don't you hold back when he tells you, go down and see great out Grandma Gertie down there that's stinking and rotting of gangrene. Don't you hold back because she stinks. Get down there. See, your expectations of the Lord blessing you are going to grow with your willingness to get out and bless. It really is the truth. Did you ever read in the Bible about sowing and reaping? It's really true, and it's not just talking about a way of offering, tithes, offerings. It's talking about the way we serve our God. It's the way we serve our Lord Jesus. The way we serve the body of Christ. I had someone one time ask me, well, how can I learn to love God? That's pretty simple. Well, okay, how can I learn to have a relationship with Jesus? You're always talking about having a relationship with Jesus. How are you supposed to do it? I says, start getting along with your family. Seriously, that's the key. It really is. Love God with all your heart, mind, body, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, right? You learn to have a relationship with Jesus to the degree you can learn how to get along with a clown like me. Okay? All right? And it grows. And it will grow. And it will grow. There's no magic formula. It's obedience. If you don't remember anything else I've shared, remember obedience, okay? Obedience. That means a lot to God. He always rewards obedience. And he always rewards disobedience. And you always have to pay for disobedience. If you don't depend on what the Lord paid for your disobedience, you will pay. But see, God is a just God. People say, why is there a hell? because God is a just God. He has to balance it. And He does everything and beyond what you could ever expect to cause you to rise up. Someone told me that you're 50-some years old, something like that.
More than you can think and ask.
Yeah. And isn't it amazing she's still a Christian? The devil's done everything he could to stop you from being a Christian. And you got more fire than... You're not weary, are you? Huh? That's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's an example for us. You know, I think there's three people right here that have stayed in there, and that you folks, you're a blessing. And I want you, if you've never, somebody says they've never seen a blessing, look over here. This is a blessing corner, right? These are people that have served, and they'll serve till the last breath. I just know it in my heart, because they have. I'm not trying to stroke them and make them feel good. It's the truth. And the Word says you give honor where it's due. You know, it amazes me. People will put up some dirty, filthy rock star's picture on their wall, or they'll let their children do that. And then when someone has led all these years, they don't give them honor. What's the matter? She's held Christianity up for a long time. You know what? She deserves some honor. All right? We're not worshiping her by honoring her. I mean, these are blessings. You get the chance to get around people like this. Just hang in there. There's nothing but pearls rolling off. It's a blessing. It's such a blessing. And there's a lot of you out here, okay? I just can't, you know, sit here and honor each of you, but I want you to know that what the Lord does within us, you know. My legs and feet were aching so bad. And I asked Sister Coffee, I went over and I told her, before she even hardly started praying, it was gone. See? You know why? Because she's faithful. And you've been faithful for a few years, haven't you, sister? See? So if you want to learn about faithfulness, go see people who are faithful. If you want to learn how to get over being selfish, go be with unselfish people. All right? You want to learn to love? Watch the people that do it. Read the Word. See, there's no such a thing as, I don't know how to do it. You know, you can play your little cutesy stuff all you want here on earth. It's the day of man. The judgment seat of Christ. Cutesy is not going to work. You know, you can flip your ponytail all you want. Well, it won't do you any good at all. You know, you can have a special wiggle that worked here on earth, but it won't work up there. All right? You're not even going to be able to think of an excuse. You're going to be stripped away. You know, the book's going to get open. I praise God that we have the blessing, folks, of 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. He is just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, and then we turn away from those ways, and we fall back in, and we do it again. The devil says, see, you're a liar. Don't, you know, how dare you go back to him again? Well, see, he don't dare. We do. But the next time, if you fall back in that same trap, Father, I need some help. See, when you're dependent on yourself, you get in a lot of trouble. But the neat thing about it is that process, you know what it does? You get the judgment seat of Christ. It'll be a blank page. Because it's been washed in the blood. Amen. And I suspect I'll have a lot of blank pages. But I'm going to do the best I can to make sure there isn't some bad stuff to be, you know, that I'd be embarrassed before the Lord. You know, I'm talking straight and serious, folks, because we're in a time, we're in a day, we're in a time. We have no idea what's going to happen. You know, America at one time was protected by oceans. They don't mean nothing anymore. The fact is, I know some people that are pretty high up in D.C. that have told me they know that there's a couple suitcase bombs there. Now, I haven't talked to them for about 2 months, and maybe they've been located. But this same man, by the Spirit of God, went and found the anthrax storage and took it away and never got anthrax, or however you pronounce it. But isn't it amazing? Did that see? We don't know all the things that's going on, But we keep praying for our nation, see? Because words have power. Curses come from words. But see, our job is not to have this mouth speak curses. We are no longer built to curse. We're built to bless. That's why the Bible says that we're supposed to bless and curse not, right? Pray for those who despitefully use you, right? Well, you can say, oh, but that's, it isn't hard. It's not as hard as not doing it and living under those circumstances. Man, I tell you, it's tough to live under bitterness, I can tell you. I did that. And disobedience is very destructive. But you know what? Obedience is you got to be careful with obedience. If you try to get ahead of God to do what he told you to, guess what? You fall into disobedience. I know. I remember when God put it on my heart to reach the gypsy people. He gave me a vision. He told me that they will be some of the greatest evangelists in the last days. He says, after all, you can't keep them behind bars. You can't keep them behind iron curtains. They travel on nothing. And they've got a universal language, the gypsy language. They can understand themselves, each other all over the world with some effort because the dialect problems get in there to a degree. Well, you know, you get a vision sometimes and you know, your motor's revving. And I remember first time I went to Romania, I'm gonna do it. So I searched me out a gypsy church and about from here to the back row, we're on our way. And a man of God had said, don't go. And I just figured, well, he's prejudiced because the gypsies are treated with a lot of prejudice, like the whites in the black issue, the black and the white. And I didn't listen to him. I stepped out the door, and it's about from here to the back of the room, maybe, or not about the back row. I seen a bee, and it turned, and it came at me and hit me in the eye quicker than I couldn't even get my hand up there. It stung me right here. Well, you know, I'm stubborn. And sometimes it's not a good idea to be, and I'm learning more every day about being stubborn, that it's not good.
Be careful what you're saying.
Okay, I break that curse in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you. But I told somebody to get some ice, so put ice on it, and we headed to the gypsy church. You know what they told us? Yeah, you can speak if you'll sing and give us money. That's just not an open door. I didn't do either one. But when God opened the door, it opened so quick, and I was so unprepared that when we took off, I put my shoes on in this dark hallway. I got to this little gypsy church, and the pastor says, I'm sorry, brother, but there's 14 people there. He says, this is all we are. He said, but Americans don't come unless there's a big crowd. And I said, just a second. I said, Jesus would stop for one, and that's your better. But I says, could we do something? He says, what's that? I said, can we have church outside? And this, okay. So they hauled out their zombo, which is a wonderful instrument. It's, and all their instruments. We were the only show in town. And it sits right next to the dump, Bucharest dump. It stinks. And then on the other side, down a ways from there, is a slaughterhouse. If you think slaughterhouses stink in America, you know, they're beautiful and fragrant in comparison to that one. And the wind is either drifting from the dump or the slaughterhouse. This is the gypsy's life. I'm going to show it to you in the Bible in a minute. But anyway, we were the only show in town. Everybody showed up because the music started. And God said to me, he says, tell these people they're cursed. And I says, yeah, right. Have you looked at the odds? You know, there's probably 400 or 500 of them all together. There's 14 Christians, myself, another pastor with me, and one interpreter. And I said, well, okay. And he said, read them out of the 109th Psalm. That's them. And then he told me, because then I showed the interpreter, and I just told her, it was a little gal. Her name was Carmen, and I told her, just read this portion of the 109th Psalm. And then while she's reading it, I'm looking at it too, and I'm saying, how can this be? I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to show you how it fits. And you know, you could say you're full of malarkey, Carl Fox, and I probably am, but I'll tell you one thing. If you can't believe me for what I say, I can take you over and show you the works that the Lord is doing. All right? And it started in a little town by the name of Galena. Now, I seen one of those quote-unquote Christian television stations about 8 months later showing pictures of the village they won. They're raising a lot of money, and I hope they use it on somebody. That's a tragedy. But see, you can't stop a work of God even though someone else tries to put their name on it. A pastor from Boston that goes one time a year with me said, they always ask me, what denomination is this guy you go? And he says, God give me a name for it. And he says, what's that? He says, pre-denomination. We're just working and it's going and everybody's putting their name on the door. It's okay. We don't have time to take care of it. We really weren't called. At one point, it angered me, it hurt me. And then I realized our job is just to get this thing rolling. And not even that. Our job is to keep these guys from killing each other. They're very volatile people. But the 109th Psalm, we'll start in the 6th verse. It says, and it's talking about Judas Iscariot. It says, set thou a wicked man over him. Let Satan stand at his right hand. The right hand is supposed to represent strength and blessing. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned and let his prayer become sin. That reminds me of those westerns. We're going to have a trial and hang you, boy. Let his days be few. Let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless. His wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds. I just had a hard time when you're talking about vagabonds today. Keep my mouth shut. I was squirming back there. But I wanted to hear what you had to say. The temptation didn't get very far with me. But they're vagabonds. And beg and let them seek their bread out of desolate places. And you always see them begging where it's desperate places. And I've seen that. Every country I've seen it. That's the way it is. And the things that they do to get your sympathy. And I tell the people that go with us, keep small bills in one pocket so that, when you give them, but don't take out a wad of money and peel some off and give them it, because there's always somebody down there watching. If you got enough, they're going to roll you. If they got to kill you, they will. Okay? I mean, these people have, the ones that are not Christians, I mean, they are absolutely going in the wrong direction. Everything about their life, just about, is wrong. It's a terrible thing. When they become Christians, the changes that you see are phenomenal. Their faith, when someone starts getting healed, it's like a wave. They are pulling the blessings out of your mouth. I mean, they're holding you up. It's a powerful thing because they're desperate people. But it says, let the extortioner catch all that he has and let the stranger spoil his labor. That's exactly it. You know why? Because the thing about the princes and kings is true. And the lowers have to pay tribute. And you can't go to the guy that you've got to give that tribute to, and he has to pay tribute too, see? So you're not going to go to him and say, we had a bad day on the begging today. There's no excuse. You have got to bring the tribute that's required. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him, neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Folks, that's a generational curse, isn't it? It all is, but this gets real heavy. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following, let their name be blotted out. I had always just assumed, and I get in trouble and assume, I had always assumed that was the end of the Iscariots. Well, there was, the males, they carried the name. It says, let the name be blotted out, right? If you're an Iscariot girl, are you going to hang around? You're going to get out of town, right? Those girls fled. Right away. That was not a place to stay. Because it says, no mercy. Nobody's going to extend any mercy. They're not going to say, you poor thing, you're bleeding and you're starving. They're going to hit him again and say, get out of here. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. That's prophecy about Judas Iscariot. You can look in Acts 1:20. But it's an amazing thing. Because when I said that, you know what? It was just starting to get, you could just see, you couldn't make out faces, but you could make out heads. You see all these people. I mean, they were spellbound. As Carmen read this, they were literally, this village was absolutely, this little gal's voice carried. And she was, you could hear the trembling, because she knew we're in the enemy camp. And she was a little brethren girl. She hadn't received the Holy Spirit yet. And she did, but not at that point. But anyway, and then I told them, I said, and you are cursed people. And she looked at me, her eyes are this big, and she's interpreted it. But I said, do you want to get rid of that curse tonight? I said, those of you that want to get rid of that curse, you raise your right arm and don't you put it down until I say amen. She interpreted it, and I put my arm up, and they put their arm up. And it broke. It was awesome. Here I was, a man with Paul's shoe on this foot and Carl's shoe on this foot. In the dark, I put my shoes on. I didn't even have, been so well prepared. But they had their right arm up. And I prayed. And it was just the Holy Ghost prayed. It's what the Lord in. If I never got to do anything for the Lord, this one night would have been worth it all. But anyway, we got done with that. It was still very quiet. And then I did the fastest salvation message I'd ever done in my time. I mean, it was hyperspeed. And I said, those of you that want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that set you free, they felt the difference. They felt it. The expressions on their face changed as those curses come off. And I said, those of you that want to have a relationship with this Jesus and get to know him, raise both arms and don't put them down until I say amen. Every arm, every arm, every arm. I pray with my eyes open. I love to watch miracles. And every arm is up. And I was doing things like this to see what they're going to do, and I'd go like this. Everybody did it. They weren't taking any chances. I'd go like this, you know, and they'd do it. I'd go like this. I mean, it was an awesome thing, you know, because you know what? The power of God, it wasn't Carl Fox. I had the privilege of being there. It was the Lord Jesus Christ reaching out to a people. It was the Lord Jesus Christ taking the devil and saying, look at what I'm doing. You thought you had Judas's bloodline. You can say I'm crazy, I might be, but I'm not about this. It's the truth, folks. We were back there, and I told the guys who was with me, I just dump oil on our hands, because the mass has started at us. And I said, just say, God bless you, God bless you. You know, and I mean, they came on us like a wave. And there's no place for us to go. We're just being squeezed around, and we just blessed them. In the name of, not our blessings, we didn't say, bless you, bless you. We said, God bless you. God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. And it was powerful because, you know, we left that night. We didn't sleep much that night. We're so excited. I don't know if I slept for two nights. I don't know. It took a long time to come down. I mean, man, there was a fire in me. But I was back there about 3 months later, and the religious leaders of the Pentecostal Union come to me and says, something's got to be done about these people. You know that it's 3 months. They've already started 30 churches, and you haven't even trained the pastors. Those people don't really appreciate me because I keep messing up the plan, you know?
The tradition.
Yeah, but that's what killed Jesus. Well, Jesus gave his life, but they were killing him for tradition's sake. There's a whole lot of it because he was messing up. They had a system. From this little village of Galena, it's 500-600 people, I don't know. You can find it on the map. But from this village, just that quick, there was that many churches. And then someone come to me and says, that's not true, Carl, was more than that. Because they aren't just in Romania. They went across the borders. And we prayed and prayed for God to not let this get on Christian television. We don't have Christian television in our house because I can't get that Gracie Box born again. But I'm getting hard up for jokes. But the thing about it is we didn't want it on there because then the people use these things as fundraisers and stuff. You know what I mean? And I want to tell you what, those kind of things bring curses. The Lord is our provider. And if you as a minister are manipulating people and making them make a partnership vows, it's an ungodly thing. I can prove it right out of the book of James. God is your provider. You know that, sir, because this place is still here. You know it. You're living in testimony to it. And so are you, sister. And so are you, because you've stood with them. And you didn't do any manipulating, did you? Wouldn't be here anymore. Be trash. Yeah, it is. You know? But those are the kind of things that goes on. God will provide. I get over there, I'm in the spot. I'm already in the spot getting over there. And the big boys, you know, that has the prestige, they're sitting in first class. And it really isn't orange juice. Some of them are drinking. You know, and first class gets on, and then you walk past them. And they look at us with contempt, you know, because we're just kind of the scourge guys. But I had a guy sitting next to me that said to me one time, well, I used to do like you too, but now I've, you know, and I thought, give me a break, fella. If you really did like I used to, come on back. Because I don't know what I'm going to do. They get upset with me. Brother Carl, frate, what? Schedules, programming, that's what they call it. Programming, we need a programming. I say, well, do you know Jesus? He hasn't told me yet. When we get up in the morning, unless we've got to buy train tickets or something like that, then we get warned ahead of time. But generally, we have no idea. We get up in the morning, we say, okay, Lord, here we are. And usually there's so much going on, it's a pretty short meeting. But, and then we go about our business. And we let the Lord lead us. And you know what? Folks, try it sometime. It's so dynamic. You know why? The devil don't know what you're up to. It's like being a stealth bomber. You've already hit before he knew you were coming. It really works. And I didn't dream it up. I can't take any credit for it. But see, that's what causes the Word of God. I take no credit for what's going on with the gypsies. And I know there are other people that are having success with them too. But you know, a time or two back, I was over there and they said, you just got to come to this village. This man came and he had, it was some kind of a surgery, but he'd opened up inside and you'd understand that, doctor. And he was having trouble healing and he didn't have no money, so they didn't really want to put him in the spittle. And he came to me, and he was burning with fever, and we prayed, and you know, you could see his strength coming back, and then God says, call him out as a pastor. Get him on his feet. Ordain him. And so I did. And I don't even know if he knew what a pastor really was. I don't know. But what most Americans think a pastor is, it isn't. It's a shepherd. Most of them are hidden. But anyway, he went to his village. He said, never had a church, even an Orthodox, Greek Orthodox church. No church. And he started a church. A year and a half later, I came through that village. The man had not only had a church, but he had six other churches in the villages around him started. And he had the pastors, and he'd been praying, Father, send, in the name of Jesus, send Brother Carl to ordain these men. And I told him, I said, sir, in the future, you know he's a man of God. You ordain him. He'll give you the words. But see, he hadn't been taught that yet. Do you know how these gypsies are building churches? They make mud churches. Adobe? You ever been in the Southwest? Adobe? Mud and grass. And that's free. They got no money, you know. So then, now they got church to meet in. They call it a basilica. They have their basilica. Don't have a roof. You know what they do when it rains? They go to the basilica and they praise God. They praise God for bringing them a roof. Isn't that amazing? See, it doesn't take millions of dollars, you know, and 400 planners in a 5-story building for a movement of God when there's blessings. This is generational blessings. These people are receiving generational blessings. You know, the people that are helping us are receiving great blessings. You know, now you know about us. If you don't help us, it's okay. You got a lot of projects. I'm not trying to grab a hold of anybody else's shekels, but I call you out to pray for us. All right? 1 month from today, the 30th, by this time I'd be somewhere out over the Atlantic, but on my way back over there. But, you know, there's things like this going all over the world. You know why? Because there's people that have gotten blessed. They're not dragging the curses anymore. And God's talking to them. And they're common guys like me. They just get the fire of the Holy Spirit and you just can't stop. What makes a man like Glenn that is 55 years old plus go at the pace he goes? The Holy Ghost burning in there. You know? And there's a few other people in this room like that. See, that's when love goes beyond convenience. When it carries you. It'll take you into situations. You know, I never was prepared for this kind of thing. I was 17 years old before I got over 40 miles away from my home. So I didn't grow up learning how to travel. You know, the thing about it is you get on a plane, you get off the plane. You pray a lot. But see, that is an example of curses being turned to blessings. Every time I get there, and I started complaining to the Lord, and I do complain to the Lord sometimes. You know why? Because I get frustrated. I don't recommend it, but I do. Because just like David, when he did, it isn't long, a few verses of complaining, and God turned David around. Psalm 77 or 71. And I've seen that happen. So when it starts to drag me down, I'm a weak scenario. I get frustrated sometimes. But God helps me, you know? And then, because because in relationship, He wants honesty. You cannot be dishonest and have a relationship. Okay? So there's no use saying, well, God, I'm not frustrated, if you are. You better confess your sin, right? But I said, you know, God, why is it every time I get here, the first 3 days, they're lined up with their complaints, and they're bickering and fighting, and they always come to me. And he said, but Carl, have you ever noticed you pray with them, and you give them the counsel I give you, and they go back to work and they love one another? Well, see, I was tired of listening to bickering, and I got blinded. I didn't see what was going on. See, God takes imperfect people to get a perfect work. It's His work. This is blessings, folks. And I'm not stroking myself. Believe me, I give God the glory. I found out the more glory you give Him, the more opportunity you have to be in the middle of the battle. All right? And to be fully covered. And any of you want to go on a real missionary trip sometime, talk to me. We don't build buildings. We don't dig ditches. We build churches. You know what churches are? People. The buildings are their problems. Okay? Now that's, you know, I suppose if I get a $5 million grant or something, something might change. But at this present time, probably won't. Just be more countries and more people. But you know what? The church is the people. I know, and God forbid, but if this building burned down tonight, it would not stop this camp. I know that. Because you're not dumb enough to think the church burned down. See, religion is a curse, believe me, folks. A blessing is obeying and trusting the Lord. Blessing is getting out there and taking chances. You know, we go for walks in the middle of the night, in the streets of Bucharest, the police don't go in because it's a gypsy part. Why not? You know, I don't know what those angels masqueraded with that walks with us, but when some toughians come around, all of a sudden their eyes get big. I don't know how they manifest. You know, maybe big mean dogs, maybe lions, raging elephants. I don't know, but they leave us alone. See, if you depend on the Lord, you've got no problems. But if you start trying to figure out the answers or paying attention to the problem, you're in deep. And you get in a place like that, you're over your head. But see, if you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways you acknowledge Him, He will direct your path. He will direct your path. He'll put you where He wants you. He'll put you. I've been wanting to go into Bulgaria for years, and I've been stopped. I'm hoping this time I will. You know, the gypsies have got a powerful movement going over there in the poorest part of Bulgaria. The Blue Danube, you know, the Blue Danube waltz, la, la, la. The Blue Danube is a killer. It's about a mile wide at that point. The current and the ebbs and the flows and the undertows are vicious. And these guys got a boat. These gypsies got them a boat. It's tube-bill patched up truck inner tubes with some planks on them. That's their boat. And they got these old pieces of twine. They got it tied on there. They want to take me across in their boat. Well, I really kind of in the way wanted to go, you know. But I said, well, how long does it take to get across? Oh, the current's fast. But it's 7 to 10 miles before you get across, you know, that you go downstream and they're paddling. But that's they're doing that to take the gospel across that river. See, because love finds a way. Love will always find a way. Love lifted me. We sung it last night. John 3:16 is the way. And it blessed me when they put that in there, because that's the way we sang it when I was a kid. It really blessed me. Thank you. But the thing about it is that unless God, it was really clear from God, I wouldn't do it that way, not just because of being in that river, because God take care of me with that. But, you know, you don't want to go into these Eastern European countries illegally. Because being a Christian, the Greek Orthodox Church controls most of these countries. And they hate Christians. I don't care what they try to tell you. Not the people, but the leadership does. And they're the ones that were turning the Christians in to be persecuted, killed, imprisoned, their property taken away. See, some people got to pay a price for their Christianity. People over there do. They did before the curtain come down. But when the curtain come down, communism didn't. They just put on different clothes. But you know what? Jesus got in there in a powerful way. It's never going to be the same. You know, and I just praise God that He let me be involved, even though sometimes it's so scary and stuff like that. But you know, the life we live, the life itself is a reward if we stay thankful. But also, there's a lot of reward throughout eternity. And I know you covered this. A lot of this I'm bypassing because it's been so well covered by my brother and my sister. But I want to talk about something that I believe we need to touch on a little bit more tonight, even though it's been very well taken care of. I want to talk about fruit, okay? The night we left, the temperature got down to 28 degrees. I got two little peach trees, just loaded the blossoms. And I'd like peaches if they ripened on the tree, but I hate those things that they call peaches in the store. So I went out with blankets and wrapped them up. The morning before we left, I unwrapped them and talked to the trees and blessed them and stuff. You know, because fruit is something you want to protect, you know. God is protecting your ability to bear fruit. All right? All right? He is protecting that ability. And Satan is sending killing frosts. All right? And cankers and worms. But it's up to you what kind of fruit you bear. And we have two kinds, and that's the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the flesh. The fruit of the flesh seems like it'll grow about anywhere. But in Galatians chapter 5, in verse 19, it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. You know what manifest means? Shown. Shown. You know what? People say Christians shouldn't judge. I got news for you. What do you think discerning is? Huh? What do you think a prophet does? He'll judge a man. He judges what the man's saying. He's got to. I watched the prophet and this man ever since I've been here. In fact, as we were talking in our room and commenting on it. And I'm thankful for that. You know, that's a lot of the success here. But what do you judge in a man? The fruit, right? Right, brother? Huh? That's right. And you know what? He sees fruit flies clear across the room. You know, if you don't understand about that, corner him. Write him a letter. Next time he comes, be here. Because I watched him. Because God says, I'm one of the prophet guys. And when I see a real man that's been doing it, I watch him. I follow him. I'm asking God, what's he seeing? You know, it's a wonderful thing. But the fruit of the Spirit is a wonderful thing, but not the fruit of the flesh. And it manifests. And thank God for people that see it way ahead of time so they can save the tree. But these are the fruit of the flesh, according to the King James Version. It's adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath. That should be enough, right? But there's more. Strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such, like of which I have told you before. And God speaks about it all the way through the Bible about these things. As I have also told you in the past, way back to the Old Testament even, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But, in contrast, thank God for buts. Because otherwise we couldn't get off that subject, see? It turns it. It's in contrast. It's like we had this theologian in Romania, and everything I said, he'd say, yes, but. So finally I started to answer him. I said, well, Mr. Yes, but. And about four times I said that, and finally he says, brother, frate, why do you call me Mr. Yes, but? And I says, well, isn't that your name? I thought you were always saying your name before you answered me. But bless his heart, he repented. He said, pray for me. He's a powerful minister today. He turned around. But a couple of nights later, there was a lot of this going on in this church, and God told me, address it. So I did. And, you know, there's 400 or 500 people in church. I didn't see him sitting out there. So I used this illustration. You know what he did? He stood up. He waved his hands to everybody, looked. He says, I was Mr. Yes, but. So I like butts, see? Because you can turn things around. He turned. The man turned. He's a powerful man of God, and he's also got two beautiful children and a wonderful wife. God is rewarding him. But the fruit of the Spirit, listen to this. And God gave me a vision about this, and in that time I was a contractor, and he used 5-gallon paint buckets, okay? Because I says, show me, Father, just show me in a simple way how this fruit of the Spirit works. And this is what he showed me. There's a 5-gallon bucket, and it was on a hillside, and there was water running into it. And when it filled from that bucket, it flowed in the next one, all 9 buckets. And he showed me, and I knew it from the Word, the first one's love. Now, by faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest is love. All right? If I have not love, I am nothing. So the first one is love. You get your love bucket full. See, to become a Christian, it takes some time for these buckets to fill. That's why we need to shepherd these people and help them, encourage them. But the first one is love. Thank God for love. The next one is joy. You know, joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. A merry heart doeth good like medicine. You know, what was the lady's name that we went and prayed for that got up walking around? Huh? Jean. That lady's got joy. And it was contagious. See, and joy is. The joy of the Lord is our strength. If you have strength, you strengthen one another, right? You know, if you're having trouble walking, its ideal situation is to get someone strong to help you, right? See? And the joy of the Lord gives us strength. So the love bucket overfilled to where the joy bucket is now full. And the joy bucket runs over. And guess where it goes? Into the peace bucket. Isn't that awesome?
That is awesome.
See? And see, you became a Christian. And as that peace bucket fills up, all this turmoil in your life starts to lose its authority. These claws have been trying to grip you. These temptations slip. It's like God has Teflon'd you. They can't hang on. See, this is a spiritual, it's a fruit of the Spirit. This is a spiritual happening. Peace bucket fills up. Next one is, see, now if you got those three, now you can do some of that long-suffering. See, long-suffering, if your love bucket's empty, it's disaster. Right? Yeah, then it's long-suffering. And you know, that love bucket, you can't stop the tap from filling the love bucket. Remember that. As these fill, keep that love bucket full. Keep the love bucket full. Keep on loving. Keep asking the Father to teach you more about love. Seek after it. The gentleness comes along. I'll tell you what, if you can't long suffer, your gentleness is going to be pretty rude and crude. It's going to have a lot of slivers in it. And then you got goodness. Well, but now remember, you got to keep the love bucket flowing. Because these are all, as the love bucket flows, these others build up. Now, you know, I see people become a Christian, and next week they want to be a faith believer. And don't discourage them. Help them. But see, they're going to have to feed off your buckets. All right? But don't discourage them and tell them, you can't do that. Go along with them. You know, when someone first gets born again, and the religious zealots have not, with their pharisaical ideas, have not cooled down that love, go with them. You want to build a church? Go out with them and work with them in their blunders. Be an example to them. Be with them. It's not the pastor's job to do all that. See? It's all our job. The faith bucket fills up, meekness. Boy, I'll tell you what, when faith starts working for you, you're going to need meekness. Because otherwise your head gets big. You know, you get the old fat head thing. Pretty soon, you keep getting a bigger hat. Pretty soon, even the baseball cap, since you can click and make bigger, it don't work no more. Okay, because it says that without love, we puff up, right? Knowledge will puff you up. Knowledge without love gives me a fat head. But that's okay, so does you. We need knowledge, but we need the love. Then along comes temperance. And against such, there is no law. And these people that say, and they don't do those things, they aren't living in love, and they say, we don't live under the law around here. We're living under grace. Well, you know what? Grace and blessed is a lifestyle, right, brother? Well, you sure painted that picture so pretty today. I hope that was taped. He's writing a book, folks. I'm going to do a commercial. Get in line. But, you know, if we look out for one another, if we will work, listen to me, please listen to me. If we will work on fighting for instead of against, all right? If we will defend one another against attack, we won't have to fight about our stupid doctrines that probably we'll have to change anyway. Many times I've had to change. I don't know about you. This is what we're going to need. The church is entering in, and I'm not talking about a denomination or a building. I'm talking about the church, the body of Christ. Visualize a body without a head. Headless horseman, Sleepy Hollow. Come on. If we're fighting and we're devouring one another, we're not connected to the head, who is Jesus. All right? If the body of Christ is going to ever function the way it's called to function, we're going to have to forgive a lot of stuff again and again and again. Jesus said 7 times 70. It represents keep doing it. That's what it tells me. That's our job, you know. And take this as you drive home, whether it's, you know, 6 miles or 6 hours.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. And LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.